And now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris on Sterling High School Radio. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. I'm your host, Rob Strauss, joined, as always, by Tad Kosineski and Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris. Dan, thank you again for joining us. This is, I believe, the sixth or seventh show this time around.
Thank you.
It's going by really quick. Coming off of a decisive victory against a Haddon Township team, kind of hurting for numbers, Tad, as you mentioned earlier, but a great win nonetheless, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we needed it.
Something I was impressed with, a guy obviously had in Township struggles. I didn't see any kids on their team hanging heads. Their quarterback was getting pummeled. He kept jumping up. He's helping your guys up. Talk a little bit about what you saw from their kids out of that game.
Yeah, I was surprised because seeing them on film, even against other teams when they were down, their kids played pretty hard, especially in the Paulsboro game. They fought pretty hard, so... You know, I was impressed. I guess, you know, their kids are learning lessons over there as well.
And your kids did what they had to do.
Yeah.
They came out and played. And overall, what's your overall thoughts looking back at the game last week?
We needed it. It was luckily it was a short week after West Deptford. But I thought the kids played well, and I think we just got to keep, you know, build off of what happened. And I think we've done that this week in practice.
The one thing that I noticed a lot, Coach, was you mentioned the layoff of – Not the short layoff. Not you guys are used to having almost a full week off. You guys only had 3 days to prepare for this. We didn't really see a lot of lag or slow start to you guys really at all from that.
Yeah, I think that comes with because we're pretty dedicated to lifting in the season and out of season, and I think that pays dividends at the end, especially towards the end of a season as you keep lifting and the other teams if they're not doing that or whatever. You know, we're pretty dedicated to lifting and conditioning.
Sterling actually got off to a really, really great start, even on the opening kickoff.
Low line drive going to the far sideline. Takes a bounce at about the 30. Picked up at the 22-yard line. And I believe that's Larry Bay across the 35. Makes a man miss. Nice move across the 40. Across the 45. He's across midfield. He's got one man to beat. And he is thrown out of bounds emphatically by Clayton Fetcher.
And, Coach, that's kind of why teams don't kick off to you. You guys are very good on kickoff return. Talk a little about that play.
Well, Larry, you know, he broke a couple tackles there, you know, arm tackles. And I thought he did a good job, you know, finding the hole and keep moving. You know, as a senior, we expect some of those guys to step up. And he did a nice job. He just got pulled down at the end there. I thought he was going to turn the corner.
Most teams have not kicked off to you this season.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had to practice anything different with your upbacks, thinking that, you know what, they might not be kicking off again this week? Or what's the game plan when you come to special teams on return?
Coach Stanko does a pretty good job mixing it up, prepping the kids for different things that the other teams do. We kind of, you know, they showed that on film that they don't kick it deep against anybody, really. So we were prepared for that.
Barrett gets on the board a little bit early. Before we get to that, Lorenzo Bay, we just mentioned him earlier, gets on the board early with a 6-yard touchdown run to open the scoring.
And Messina in the backfield, and it's going to go to Messina, pushing the pile forward into the end zone. No, it's going to be Lorenzo Bay. Lorenzo Bay scores from 6 yards out, and Sterling strikes first.
So Lorenzo Bay puts Sterling on the board 7-0 to open up the game just about 2 minutes into the game. And it's hard. We were talking about this right before we went on air here, how difficult it is for us as broadcasters up at the booth to see who has the ball in that formation that you guys run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's key. We're, you know, the power and misdirection, I think, you know, is key for us. You know, and at times it helps us. You know, you can look back at the Haddonfield game. Charles scored early because of the misdirection, and teams are expecting certain things, but we're running other plays. So, you know, it pays off. You know, we just got to keep, you know, we got to execute the basic plays, and then the other stuff opens up.
It worked well for, I guess it's working well for you because it confused us in the booth. I mean, Tad and I, we have a heck of a time. Not as much Tad because he's in the truck producing most of the games this year, but even the times where he did join us in the booth, it is real tough to tell exactly what's going on, who has the ball, Tad.
And when you go through a play like that, The kids know exactly what's going to happen. Is there a read on this play by the quarterback on that touchdown that we just played back, or is that
that was just a basic power play.
So that the kids, it's easier for them as opposed to an option play where nobody's really sure what's going on.
Yeah, we don't have a there's one series of plays, but we don't really run it that much.
so everyone knows their assignment coming in. And it's easy for you guys because you guys know what's going to happen. The other team doesn't, and the fans don't.
Yeah, well, we just have our core plays, and then the biggest thing for us is preparing our kids for all the other looks that the defense is going to give us. So there's certain plays we want to call when they're lining up a certain way, but it's more so we have a play, and then we got to make sure everybody knows their assignment based off what the defense is doing.
So where we are with the offense right now, there's no – like when we watch the Eagles, you watch the pros, there's guys that do reads. They'll check off to something else. You guys basically call the play, and that's what we're running.
Yeah, well, we're absolutely sure everybody's talking about the coaches are talking about where they're lining up on defense, what coverage they're in, how many linebackers, how many on the line of scrimmage, all that stuff. So that's you know, our core plays take care of everything. It may not be the best call, but we should be able to block it and execute the play properly. It's just from there, then the coaches are talking about what plays we should run based off what the defense is doing.
So when you're talking about calling the plays, and it does sound like it's a team collaborative effort amongst coaches. Take us a little bit in that, how you're building a series and how it goes along.
Well, it goes to the offensive coordinator, but we're all telling him what coverage they're in, what they're doing, what the defense's reactions to our plays. You know, with the misdirection, you're saying it's hard to see. Well, we want to see what they're doing if the guy that's going in motion is not getting the ball. Well, what are they doing? Are they taking care of that guy with, you know, covering him with a corner, or what are they doing? So, you know, that tells us what we should be calling. And then, you know, it's tough as a, you know, I call the defense, and for the offensive coordinator, you know, when you got too many voices, sometimes it's hard as well. So it's really, you know, we're just telling him what we're seeing, and then he's processing that and calling the plays from there.
And then when do you inform, like, it's third and whatever, when do you inform him, hey, there's a chance we might go on fourth down? How do you work that?
I'll usually, on third down, when I know for a fact we're going for, I'll say, you got two plays. That's usually what my go-to line. I said, you got two to get a first down.
Do you ever feel the need to say, I want this play, run this play, or you pretty much just let him run his show?
Sometimes, but very rarely. Because I know it's the same for me on the defensive side of the ball. So I think you have to do what you're comfortable with, what you feel is the best call. You know, that's your role as the coordinator. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, you let the coaches do their job. Let them do his job.
Switching gears back to C.J. Barrett, sophomore quarterback. We've spoken about him a number of weeks in a row and the development of him over the course of the season. This is kind of his coming out party. And had two touchdown passes and the first one right here.
Barrett back to pass, has a man in the open in the end zone. It's Furlough for the touchdown. Nick Furlough, a 7-yard touchdown reception, and Sterling leads 13-0.
All right, Coach, tell us a little about that play. What he was looking for as he went back to pass? What was?
Well, if you watch on film, everybody was open. That's just our basic wag. Or actually, that was a power pass. It's with a run option. You know, he scored on a 2-point conversion against Haddonfield with the same play. It's really just to see where the corner is. Because we have a guy running underneath and a guy running behind him, and then we have a backside drag. So it's really based off, you know, what the linebacker and the play side corner are doing. So all three guys were open, so, you know, he just threw it to the first guy he saw, I guess.
It was funny. They were all open. Now, his job is, let's say if two to three of them are covered, his job is to find the open receivers.
Yep, and then on that play, too, he has the option to run the ball and get a couple yards. So that's what we always encourage him to run the ball if needed, too, because – you know, with our style of offense, teams are going to really try to load the box, stop the run. But on our passing plays, I think we've been pretty successful off of that because of the waggles, and we call it Rupo, where CJ has a decision where he can run the ball, and he's a pretty good runner as well. So throwing the ball if the guy's not open, make a good decision, and, you know, get a few yards, live to see the next play.
CJ was okay with one, but he'd rather have two. He chimes in with it's a 12-yard touchdown pass to Ryan Brennan also in the latter moments of the first quarter.
Barrett pass complete to Ryan Brennan, and he is in the end zone for a touchdown. A 12-yard touchdown pass, his second of the afternoon, evening rather, to Ryan Brennan, his first of the season, and Sterling leads us one 27-0.
Coach, when you have a young quarterback like C.J. Barrett, what is a game like this do for his confidence? He gets two touchdowns, arguably the best game he's had all season. What does that do for his confidence?
I think CJ's a very confident kid. I think I wouldn't say confidence. I would say more so being comfortable with the different looks that we're seeing, and the experience and being comfortable, you know, seeing those things and then making decisions based off. And he processes things very quickly, and he, you know, he does a really good job being in awkward positions, throwing the ball downfield, and throwing that backside drag because, you know, in the past with certain quarterbacks we've had, that drag is tough to see, and that's who he hit, you know, when he hit Brennan on for that touchdown. It's a tough throw.
Talk a little bit about Brennan, one of your guys that we see going out for passes. What kind of years he had for you so far?
Pretty solid. You know, we ask him to block a lot, and, you know, he does everything we ask. He's a quiet kid, but he gets the job done.
Not only was Sterling firing all cylinders offensively, but also defensively, had a number of key stops. It seemed like the Sterling defensive line was really having their way with that Haddon Township offensive line, and this is a prime example of it right here.
With one back in the backfield in Festinger, and he's going to get the call again, and Sterling swallows him up at the 30-yard.
So the cut was cut short there a little bit, but you guys, I don't know how many sacks you guys had on their quarterback. You guys must have had at least 7 or 8 in that first half.
Yeah, it was, I just did it actually yesterday. 10 sacks.
Wow.
We had 10. You know, it was just a collective. You know, it's stuff that we do. I just think the kids are finally getting comfortable in the system. You know, in the defensive line, slowly but surely getting better. We have a lot of young guys, a lot of inexperienced guys, so it's taken some time to get them experienced and comfortable with the techniques and stuff we're doing.
On the defensive line, they don't get a lot of recognition. Who are some guys who are stepping up and making some plays?
Lamar Price has done a good job. Scott Goff. John Corey's been great. Chris Wittenberg stepping up. You know, we have Jay Leal. You know, a lot of guys are stepping up. We rotate a good amount on the D-line.
Had another highlight here for you, right? Again, credit to the defense.
Strohmauer, who's in the shotgun, looking to pass to Strohmauer, being flushed out. He's going to be hit again and sacked in the backfield. This time it's Nick Furlow inside the 10-yard line. Haddon Township going backwards.
Strohmauer had no time back there whatsoever, Coach. It seemed like all day he was kind of running for his life. Nick Furlow on that sack. Tell us a little about Nick Furlow and his progression.
Yeah, he's doing great. Like I said, same thing. He getting varsity experience. It's a new defense from what the kids did last year. So them just, you know, becoming comfortable what we're asking and doing the same thing over and over, but doing it the right way, technique-wise. And I think the kids were pretty, you know, pumped up to play, you know, getting over the West effort, that little hangover there. You know, I just think they're ready to go. Nick made a great play early on with the tipped interception.
And then your secondary seemed to do a pretty good job because, you know, every pass played, looking back, there wasn't a lot of room to throw.
Yeah. I just – usually a high school quarterback, when you start getting pressure on them, they you know, they had two completions early on. And then after that, they didn't complete another ball. So I just think, you know, consistently hitting the quarterback at the freshman level, the varsity level, will rattle them a little bit.
Back-to-back touchdowns for Charles Naomi Carter, a guy we've been talking about off and on throughout the season. I don't know how many points he has for you guys on the season. He's got to be one of your top point getters this season. Chimes in with 2 touchdowns here.
Naomi Carter is going to go into the end zone, a 45-yard touchdown run for Charles Naomi Carter. He has 4 carries on the night for 76 yards. Back to pass. He's got a man open. Charles Naomi Carter going to go all the way, 68 yards for the touchdown.
And that was one of my favorite plays of the year thus far. That was a well-thrown ball right on the mark. Very impressive.
Yeah. I kind of – we talked with CJ. We were asking him if he knew that they weren't playing with a safety because they went to like a 6-3. It was more of a goal line type look, I would say, because they did that when Nick caught his touchdown as well. They were playing without a safety. They brought everybody up. CJ's claims, he saw that there was no safety, so the backside post was wide open, which it was.
That's going to be a good feeling as a coach when you call that play going in. What are you looking at before the play? You called it in. Are you watching a certain part of the field at that play?
Me being an O-line, D-line guy, I watched the, it was a waggle boot play. So I looked to the point of attack where CJ's rolling out to see if we're blocking everything correctly so that he can at least make the throw. That just usually the point of attack is what I'm looking at. But CJ did a great job. I mean, we're very comfortable with him making decisions, throwing the ball.
That was a heck of a play, Rob.
Yeah, and he was wide open. There wasn't anybody within 10 yards of him at that point. So Sterling goes on to win this one 42-7. The only score from Haddon Township came late in the fourth quarter, and he 51-yard touchdown run by Eli Festinger, and you had to think that at some point he was going to bust one open. Haddon Township played well, but they didn't have a lot of subs and the personnel really to handle you guys. So, again, congrats on the win. Moving forward now, looking ahead, this is your first bout with Spirit Week here at Sterling. So if it's any indication on how crazy this week was, Friday night's going to be a little bit crazy with Overbrook coming into town. What's the outlook on Overbrook so far?
Pretty tough team. I think we're pretty evenly matched. Some areas, I think we have the upper hand, and then there's other areas where I think they do. So should be a good game. I really, really counting on the home field advantage and the kids being ready to play, behind their fans and their parents.
What is it, something you need this Sterling, either offense or defense, to do to be successful against this Overbrook team?
I think defensively we need to stop them early on, and then the offense, hopefully we slowly wear them down.
Talk a little bit about Overbrook's offense. I've seen some of their scores. They put a lot of points on the board.
They're spread wide open. They're I'd say 55-45 run the pass ratio, but they like to throw the ball. They a lot of big plays. They have two good backs. They like to throw them the ball, hand them the ball. Their quarterback can run a little bit as well, and they spread the ball around pretty evenly with receivers. I wouldn't say they have one go-to guy. But they, their backs are pretty good. They make people miss. They can run you over. So it's just us getting them, before they hit the line of scrimmage.
Coming into the Audubon game, we had concerns about the Audubon quarterback, and it was a miserable day out there, so he became less a factor. On a normal day, how does this quarterback compare with what we saw from what the Audubon quarterback could do?
I think Overbrook's quarterback's a little bit more of a runner. They call certain things, like the ball's in his hands to run it. Audubon, I don't think they want to do that. They want to throw the ball a little bit more. Other than that, they're similar body types, similar arms.
So defensively then, is the key to watch what this quarterback's doing, the possibility he could run around, or who's a little more the pressure on defensively for your team? Is it linebackers? Is it the line? Is it the backs?
I would say more so the defensive ends this week, and then partly the linebackers as far as assignment stuff.
Coach, how important is this game for both teams in terms of playoff positioning? As the season starts to wind down a little bit, how much emphasis for both sides is this game?
For us, just to stay in the playoff hunt, we need this game. For them, they need it to I think this would, I wouldn't say solidify, but put them in really good shape to be in the playoffs.
So an important game on both ends. Mm-hmm. We're not sure how it's going to shake out within the next couple of weeks, but again, your bye week comes I don't think we've done a game, Tad, where the bye week comes in week 9.
Yeah, it's very late, and how do you think about having the bye at that point? Is it a good spot?
it's weird. This is my third school in 3 years, and every year it's been the same bye week. So I'm used to this.
So how does that work for you as a coach and with the kids?
It's tough scheduling practice at that point. The past 2 years, we didn't make the playoffs, so it was it was just tough keeping them, engaged, because you played two games within about a 4 week span. So three and a half week span. So it's a lot of time off, and again, just keeping them focused on what's going on.
And what do you work in that practice period? And when you have that 2.5-3 week span that you just mentioned, how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it so that the kids don't get bored and they just want to go out and hit somebody other than their own teammates? How do you keep it fresh?
Usually I focus more than on the, like I said earlier, the weightlifting and conditioning, just to keep them in shape. I think you could lose sight on that. We've been mixing it up the past few weeks as it is, getting them, making it situational stuff, making it competitive. So I just think doing those things, keeping the kids competitive and keeping it fun.
Now, there's a lot of games in South Jersey as it comes down to playoff time. Is there any one team that, if you had a chance to go out and watch any games this weekend that you're keeping an eye on that you would really like to go see, if you weren't coaching, anyway?
The Delsey game, but we're playing, I would definitely say, I'm definitely going on Saturday, is Paulsboro-Woodbury. It's their 100th anniversary game. So, it's going to be fun. That game will be fun.
I want to ask one more question about this game coming up. We talked about what your team would do defensively. When you look at the Overbrook defense, what are some areas that you can possibly exploit as you look at their defense?
They're big up front, but their linebackers aren't as big as, you know, some of the other teams we've seen. So I think getting to the linebackers and doing, you know, some of our, you know, certain plays that we run will be key for us. You know, and I don't think their defensive ends aren't like we've seen at West Effort or Haddonfield. So I think capitalizing on those things, you know, getting outside and, you know, just doing what we do. But, you know, there's certain things that we're going to do.
And then you're going to have what amounts to be – they try to get the halftime in as quickly as they can here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an extended halftime. What challenges does that present to you as a coaching staff?
You know, both teams have to deal with it, so I don't think it's really an advantage or disadvantage. I just think you got to get out there early and get the kids' blood flowing again.
Of course, the homecoming queen will be announced at halftime. All the kids are going to be hyped after a week full of Spirit Week activities and Spirit Stick competitions and all sorts of craziness going on in the school. What have been your initial thoughts on Spirit Week here so far?
Oh, it's great. I like the way they decorate the halls and all that. And it was pretty cool last Saturday being here and all, you know, the kids are packed in the hallways, you know, putting decorations up and stuff. So it's been great.
It has been a good year, Rob. I mean, in general, the kids do a good job. Mm-hmm. They are really into it this year, not just, you know, for all sports. And again, I think it's going to be a nice night, Friday night. I think we're going to have an outstanding crowd, and I think it's going to be a great game.
It should be a great game. Sterling Overbrook coming up shortly. Before we get to that, another shameless plug for your fundraiser that you have coming up, Coach.
Actually, that has been canceled because we didn't get enough tickets.
Oh, okay.
Tickets sold pre-sale.
Okay, we tried.
Fair enough. We tried to give you a shameless plug.
Yeah.
Either way, Sterling and Overbrook coming up shortly. Coach, once again, thanks for joining us, and best of luck tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for the Coach's Show. For Tad Kozineski, I am Rob Strauss. Sterling and Overbrook on homecoming coming up next. You're listening to live coverage of Sterling High School football and via the Coach's Show. Right here on Sterling Radio. We'll be back right after this.